Hi, I am Párindi Beretz-Etelko. I am from Hungary. I'm going to tell you a Hungarian tongue twister. Répa retek mogyoró, korán reggel ritká rikkant a rigó. In English, carrots, radishes, peanuts, early morning, quail seldom chirps. In Hungarian again, répa retek mogyoró, korán reggel ritká rikkant a rigó.
That's good, thank you. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about Hungary with Esther Bokros and Peter Poltzman, who visit us right now from... Do you both live in Budapest?
Yes, we do.
The great capital city of Hungary. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Elaine's on the phone in Orlando, Florida. Elaine, thanks for the call.
You're most welcome. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Elaine. Do you have a thought for Peter or Esther?
Oh, I'm enjoying the conversation, and Peter talking about visiting Esterházy Palace just outside of Sopron. Absolutely beautiful. I just love visiting that area, and I think Hungary has a lot to offer that people don't realize that there's so much to see and do in that country.
Are you Hungarian in your family?
Yes. Both of my grandparents came from Hungary, and so my family, there were 12 of us that went back to Hungary just a few years ago and traveled around and visited the Lake Balaton area, which was just spectacular, and down towards the plains in Kecskemét, and of course we visited Budapest. But I think getting outside the big city and touring around and enjoying the countryside and the people and the culture and the cuisine was just spectacular.
Did you make any attempt to track your family roots?
Yes, we did, and in fact we traced our family roots all the way back to a little town called Sopron-Horpács, which is just south of the city of Sopron over by the Austrian border, and it's only like an hour's drive from Vienna, and there you are in this beautiful, very rural little area of Hungary.
Now, how would a Hungarian-American family go back to the old country and trace their family roots? What did you do to prepare, and how did you put things together when you got there?
We worked with a travel agent and hired a van and a driver, and we also had a young college student that we had come along with us that served as a translator, so that we could get out in the countryside and really experience things. And so for a week, we traveled around the country and had no problems. It was nice to have András and some others to help us with the Hungarian language. But we visited towns. We had a three-ring binder with photos of some old family pictures, and we were able to kind of map them up to today. And here we were standing in the same crossroads. It was spectacular.
Did you actually connect with distant relatives who didn't know you before?
Yes, we did, and that was quite an experience.
Tell us about that.
Outside of Budapest, near the UNESCO village of, I think it's Holoko, one side of my family comes from that area, and we ran into this little village, and they were all, like, waiting for this van of this family to arrive from America and greeted us with open arms and gifts, and we exchanged, you know, photos and presents and things of that nature, and then walked around the old churchyard, because so much of history comes from looking at the tombstones and gathering records from the church, you know, mostly the church records and things of that nature. So it was really neat for particularly my little niece, who was 5 years old at the time, as well as my father, who was around 70 at the time. So it was just a beautiful, wonderful family experience.
Must have been great for your father at age 70 to go back to the old country and connect with people and go to the village where his relatives came from.
Yes, it was a beautiful experience, and particularly beautiful and easy to get around in the country. And like I said, in every village we went to, people were very hospitable, and having the time to dip our toes into the Lake Balaton, which was very cold even in the summer, and, you know, sample the wines in Eger, and
right.
We even spent the night in Atanya, which was just a wonderful experience.
Elaine, that's quite a bit of gumption for your family to actually put this all together and go back to Hungary and hire a guide with a car and go to these villages so far from the big city and everything. I would imagine some of our listeners are listening in thinking, boy, I don't know if we could do that. What advice would you give a Hungarian-American family that really was reluctant but would like to go back there and find their roots?
I think you could do some of the basics of go to if you know the basic area where your family may be from. And in my case, it's outside Budapest, and then the other city is Sopron. I was in Vienna on a conference, went across the border into Sopron, and then just rented a car from a major rental car agency, and you can drive over there as long as you have a legal driver's license. And some of it is just kind of exploring and getting off the beaten path and turning over stones and just kind of finding your way.
What did you pay per day for your guide and translator?
I believe we paid as if he was just another member of the family. So we had to pay for his lodging and his meals. So he was just, you know, a 13th person when we were factoring our costs. So he had his own room and he had his, we were paying for his meals. And I think there was a little extra for him.
Peter and Esther, any thoughts on somebody who's listening in, thinking about visiting their family roots?
I agree with Elaine. It's actually relatively easy to do it. The records are there. It's a microfilm, so you can actually find that here in the States. So you can do the basics here, and then, yes, go back, get
more,
a car.
More fun to go over there and get a big hug from long-lost relatives.
Sure enough. And you at least, you know, see a tombstone or,
you know, relatives. Guys are both guides. I'm surprised Elaine could get one that would do this for room and board.
That's a good deal,
Elaine.
That's a
good deal. What would you recommend? I mean, are there young guides who would be available, you know, just to hire for 4 days to go and be your escort this way?
I do it.
Yeah,
I've done it a lot of times. You can cover it like one day.
Normally, would the tourist drive and you would just go along, or would you drive?
I drive. I translate. I talk to the local priest. We go out to the cemetery, talk to the relatives. I've done it a few times, and it's really, really exciting.
You're not a cheap guide because you're one of the best and most experienced in the country.
I am cheap, Elaine.
You're cheap.
Don't believe that.
You wouldn't do it for room and board. That's what I'm saying. What would you cost to hire a guide like you for the day?
I do 180 euros, and that includes gas, that includes a highway sticker, that includes translation
with
and everything.
Your car.
Yeah, with my car.
With
so,
your services and your car, $250 a day. If you had a family, that is a sweet deal. And in fact, if you're taking a family over to Hungary and you're trying to do it on your own, that's a good example of penny wise and pound foolish. If you think of four people sharing the services of one guide doesn't that make sense to you, Elaine?
Oh, it does.
Elaine, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Rick.
And Diane is calling us from Ashland, Oregon.
Hi.
You bet.
We are just beginning to plan our trip to Hungary, and we do not drive anymore. So we're interested in public transportation for day trips.
That's a good question. So you're going to try to base in Budapest and then day trip into the countryside?
That's right.
What would you recommend, Esther?
I would definitely recommend what Peter already mentioned. It's quite easy to go to the Danube Bend from Budapest. You can take a suburban railway to Szentendre, to St. Andrews from Budapest. That's only 45 minutes. That's easy enough. Or you can even take a boat up to Visegrad to the Danube Bend from Budapest, which is also nice because then you see the whole panorama on the way up.
And if you want to get to Eger or Pécs, I would imagine there are train connections or bus connections.
There are train or bus connections, both.
So no problem there, Diane.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Thank you for your suggestions.
Yeah, have fun in Hungary.
I will. Thank you very much.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Peter Poltzman and Esther Bokros. Peter, you mentioned the Danube Bend, and you've got these three cities. There's Visegrad. I always had a confusion with the word Szentendre or whatever. It's St. Andrew.
Yes.
In Hungarian. How do you say it in Hungarian?
In Hungarian, that would be Szentendre.
Szentendre. And then Esztergom, which is famous for the church kind of capital of the country.
Yeah.
So all of those are very close to the city. You've got an artist community, very artsy, lots of cute little galleries and shops. You've got a historic castle where you can feel the long history of the country. And you've got the most important church in the country. Last time I was there, I saw a beautiful opportunity just to see local weddings, the bride and the groom getting their picture taken in front of the river. And it was just beautiful. It's easy to list all the famous sites and obvious things to do, but to really connect with the culture is a challenge, especially in a country like Hungary, where we don't have a lot of famous Leaning Towers and Michelangelos that we can relate to. So if a traveler, Esther, is going to Hungary and they want to get a memorable experience in a very intimate countryside way, what would you recommend?
I would definitely recommend you to take a nice long cruise on the Lake Balaton with a beautiful fish dish on board and, of course, a nice light white wine to go with it.
So they have vacation boats that will take you for the evening, the sun's going
Absolutely.
Down.
Absolutely.
Some white fish and white wine.
Absolutely.
Oh, Lake Balaton. Peter.
Okay, if you're not into this whole romantic thing, then kick yourself and make things happen. I would recommend to cook your own goulash because you cannot go wrong. You just buy some paprika, go to the local market, local farmer's market in the morning, pick up the local, you know, veggies, fruit. Goulash is basically cubes of meat with potato. You put it in, you put some onions in there, and then you cook it for a while. Of course, you know, not in this order, but you can get the recipe from the internet in the meantime. And then just make it. 2 hours and the deal's done. And then you'll be happy by the end of the day.
So actually go into the market and put together the ingredients for the quintessential Hungarian dish.
But, you know, goulash doesn't have a fixed recipe. So it was always a poor man's soup or a poor man's stew. So whatever it turns out is good.
So you can say this is a fine Hungarian goulash.
Sure enough.
Well, this is a fine opportunity to sort of imagine the fun we can have in the countryside of Hungary. Peter Poltzman, Esther Bokros, how do you say thank you in Hungarian?
Köszönöm.
Köszönöm. Köszönöm, Peter. Köszönöm, Esther.
Szívesen.
We'll learn about Basque Country in Spain and France in just a few minutes. But first, let's check in with some listeners who've contacted us recently at Travel with Rick Steves to see what kinds of family vacation plans they're working on. We're at 877-333-RICK. Andrea's on the line in Laramie, Wyoming. Andrea, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Great. You have some thoughts about travel?
Yeah, my mom and I are going to England this fall. It's my sixth trip over and her second. We'd like to go to Liverpool for a day because her grandparents sailed out of Liverpool to the U.S. when they came from Norway, and we're wondering about the maritime history and, you know, checking out the docks there. We know what ship they sailed on and when they sailed, and it would be kind of neat to be able to see the area where they sailed out of.
I would say you've got great timing, Andrea, because Liverpool has really had sort of a rejuvenation in the last decade. In previous years, you know, people just went there for the Beatles connection, and
right.
It had a reputation of just being kind of a rundown industrial city. But the city is an amazing transformation. They've rejuvenated the old Docklands. It's a thriving people's zone now. The core of the city is a sprawling shopping mall where you just feel a great energy. You can still take tours and see the Beatles sites. I love to see Penny Lane and Strawberry Field and all that. But what you've got now is a couple of great new museums. One of them is the brand new Museum of Liverpool. And this just opened along the riverfront in a state-of-the-art facility. It has exhibits about the history of the city, and that includes its role as an immigrant launch pad. So many people from Ireland during tough times came over to Liverpool, and so many English workers, hoping for a new promise and new opportunities, left the old world for the promise of America from Liverpool, and it's a fascinating museum there. There's also another museum, which is the Merseyside Maritime Museum. It's nearby, and it's got another good exhibit about immigration and a very thought-provoking and honest exhibit about Liverpool's role as a sort of a kingpin in the slave trade. I didn't realize this until I went there, but Liverpool was really a mover and a shaker in that whole ugly chapter in European and American history. So when you're in Liverpool, be sure to, you know, enjoy the new gentrified people zone. There's all sorts of thriving pubs and nightlife scenes, some great new restaurants. And you've got those two great museums, the Museum of Liverpool and the Merseyside Maritime Museum.
All right. We'll be sure to check those out then.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Right.
Have a good time.
Sure. Bye.
Take care. Deborah's on the line in Marietta, Georgia. Deborah, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Doing well.
Well, I have three young kids. The oldest one is 7. And I'd like to kind of have a more rural, rustic experience. And Ireland popped into my mind just because it's temperate. It's not overly hot.
Right.
And it would be nice to have some sort of like a coastal little town that we could stay in.
Okay.
So I wondered if you had any thoughts on where what might be some good.
Oh, you know, I just love the thought of taking a family trip to Ireland with, how old are your kids?
3 months, 3 years, and 7 years.
Oh, that's younger than what I was thinking. So let's see. It's going to be kind of like camping. You're going to want to have your own car, a big car.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you'd camp. You'd probably stay in B&Bs.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to be doing, you know, lots of outdoors kind of stuff. And you really want your own mobility in Ireland. The public transportation is pretty frustrating. And the people are wonderful. The driving is scenic. The roads are small. And I'm just the biggest fan of the west coast of Ireland. There's all these famous peninsulas, most famously the Ring of Kerry and Dingle Peninsula. Children are welcome in the pubs. We took our kids there when they were your kids' age. You know, you hang out in the pub. It's the neighborhood living room, and you get to know local families, and that's quite nice.
Yeah, I would love that. I mean, anything popping into your mind as far as great beachy towns? I don't mean like lay out in the sun beach, but exploring rocks and craggy and tide pools and things like that?
Yeah, there's a place called Inch, like 12 inches and a foot, and it's on the south part of Dingle Peninsula. And you'll see families out there digging in the sand. You'll see horses galloping on the beach. You've got beautiful ruined castles nearby. That might be worth checking out. You know, the Dingle Peninsula, to me, is my favorite part of Ireland, with or without kids. It's a very kid-friendly place. Sparse population, no language barrier, and just people that would love to meet your family.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Kari's on the phone in St. Paul, Virginia. Kari, thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Quick question. We are planning to take my mother-in-law on a trip to the UK, which she's wanted to do throughout her whole life. We've both been overseas several times, so we're confident. She has early onset dementia and Alzheimer's. She's oriented to where she is and who she's talking to. That's no problem. She's in good health otherwise. But we just want to get some ideas of how to make the trip memorable and exciting for her.
Well, I'd say, first of all, Kari, it's great you're having an opportunity to do this. The British Isles are a perfect place to go when you consider there's no language barrier. They're very well organized for smooth travel compared to places on the continent. And I think you'll find very friendly and understanding locals. I find in England they have a real gift for putting people at ease. One thing is, you know, in Britain, people are out and about with senior citizens and people who have Alzheimer's or whatever, and you'll find that there's not quite the stigma you might find in the United States and in other countries, and people are comfortable in that regard. Also, I find that when you visit the great sites all over Britain, they've got this, just this sort of gentle, compassionate approach to teaching, and it's sort of kid-friendly, and it's also grandpa and grandma-friendly. And be sure when you get to these sites that you browse through the associated bookstores and the gift shops, and they've always got wonderful, you know, little guidebooks that are easy to follow and big print and kind of introduce the context to you of whatever site you're visiting. And they've also got comfortable little theaters where you can sit and get a video overview. It's family friendly, and I think that works if you're traveling with kids or if you're traveling with senior citizens that need to take things a little easy.
That sounds good. I'm trying my best to remember to plan in rest days for her.
Yeah, well, that's important for all of us. I think I find myself marveling at the wisdom of God to say you should rest every 7 days. When I'm traveling in Europe, I have a hard time putting on the brakes. But I think that's a very good idea. And when you find yourself in a small town, the first night you're getting oriented, and the second night you're considered a local. You know the lay of the land, and if you go back to the same pub, they'll treat you like an old friend.
That sounds wonderful. I think she's going to have the trip of a lifetime.
I would say just get out there and meet people and breathe that fresh air. And remember, in England, they say there's no bad weather, just inappropriate clothing. So be prepared for the weather and don't wait for the weather to break and be good. Just bundle up and get out there because they can get 7 different weather situations in a single day.
I've warned her it is not going to be warm, so she's prepared for that at least.
Good for you. Have a great time.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
You can reach us by email. The address is radio@ricksteves.com. If cities can get makeovers, then Bilbao in Spain has had a great one. It's now an important center for all of Basque culture. Since the much-acclaimed Guggenheim Museum opened there in October 1997, the spiffed-up city has become a popular place to visit. We're exploring the Basque Country with a native-born tour guide up next on Travel with Rick Steves.